taking whatever background research that it wanted to. And in fact, I proactively supplied ICANN Legal with a copy of my UK National Police disclosure. So hopefully, in terms of the instant position, everybody's reassured. As far as going forward is concerned, as I say, I think what we need in the uniform procedure is going to be objective criteria. At the moment, all I see in the proposal is timings, and I think it needs a bit of work. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel. Chris, then Mike.
So just to be very clear, and I don't want, we really don't need to spend too much time on this because we've got other things to talk about, but just to be very clear, if you decide to go with the existing process, which is what I would recommend because it's easy and it's simple, you do still have to make some decisions. You have to decide when you want to do it. So, for example, the at-large does checking on all candidates before the election. It's different in the nominating committee because that's completely confidential, so whereas in the SOs and ACs it's kind of public. So you need to think about the timing of it and when you want to have it done. Then you need to think about the process with for which the process to deal with the results. What happens in at large is, and in the nominating committee, is that the reports go to general counsel. General counsel looks at those reports, and if there is an issue, general counsel takes it somewhere. Now, where is the somewhere? You need to make sure that it is whoever gets any information is bound by completely bound by confidentiality, can't make that information public. But so Nigel sort of covered all of that by saying there needs to be some process work done. We'll happily help you to go to get through that so that it can all be organised quickly. It's not complicated, but the decisions do need to be made. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We did our homework. We researched and consulted other communities. So we have some summary of what's going on in all communities, and as I said, we have several proposals how to address it, and yes, they have to be discussed and implemented in our board nomination guideline. Mike, please.
Chris said everything I was planning on, so move on.
Thank you very much. Okay, if there are no more questions about this particular question, we can move forward. And yes, since Demi already asked his question, maybe we can start with that one, and my understanding is Chris is ready
Yes, Demi, if I understood you correctly, you were asking a question about are we going to, is ICANN going to be involved in the ITU, plenipotentiary, et cetera? And the answer is yes. We will be there. The best person to answer that question is as to exactly how it will be done is Tarek. So if it's okay with you, I'll take it offline and I'll get Tarek to respond.
Thank you very much. So here you see our questions that we submitted in advance to the board. So the first is about the communication between the ICANN board and the CNSO regarding board's decisions, especially when they affect the CNSO. Oh, in particular, no, its workload and priorities. And here I would like to mention some specific example, and it was board's decision on emojis. So when board advised the CCNSO and the GNSO to work together with SSAC to understand the impact of use of emoji as second level domains. The thing is that, luckily we follow, sometimes we do read board's resolutions, and so we discovered this particular thing that the board wanted us to do. But that raised some questions. How do you actually communicate? Is there any mechanism that you could inform us about this decision and so that we can first react, and second, how do you follow up this decision? I'll mention another example. A couple of days ago, I discovered that there is a website on the ICANN's website. There's a page dedicated to advices received from ACs, and you can actually see how many advices are being received and how in what phase they are. Unfortunately, we failed to find something similar for SOs, particularly for the CCNSO. So is there any way we could address this and make sure that we can, well, first we learn about these board's decision that we could, yeah, it does impact our workload and our priorities, and it would be interesting to follow.
So I've got a very simple answer to your question, which is yes, we need to have a process to make sure that you don't find out about stuff just because you happen to be reading a blog. So we understand that we need to communicate the decisions more clearly, and so we're going to get staff or ICANN.org to work with you to get comfortable on a system so that you get regular and timely notices of stuff that affects you. What that looks like, whether that's a letter or whatever, it doesn't much matter. We can work on that. But we agree it needs to be done. It will be done, and hopefully it'll be done quickly.
Thank you very much. Any other comments? Rob?
Thank you. This is Ram Mohan. One of the things that I wanted to really compliment the CCNSO in doing was, you know, the board passed this resolution last year, and it was delightful to see that in January of this year there was a letter that came in that said, you know, we're going to include a session on Tech Day, you're starting a process to do a study group, and on top of it, you were going to check references, you know, in the Fast Track program as well as the IDN CCTLD PDP. And those were very specific responses, you know, to that request on, you know, do further work. And I think that's a really good model that we should hold up, not just in here, but to all the other communities, you know, of a request response mechanism that I think is really working well. The response is working well. The mechanism isn't yet, as we just talked about. But the response was specific, substantive, and focused. And it, one of the biggest concerns, and there was a discussion in the ESSAC public forum that happened about emojis and what to do about emojis. And one of the things that was said there was, on the GTLD side, they are banned by contract, so the enforcement can be done by contract. But on the CC side, there is no such equivalent mechanism, right? So what you're doing here, especially referencing what you did with the wildcards, gives, I think, a lot of comfort in terms of carrying out the security stability mission. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. But that was just one of the examples, and as I said, luckily we picked it up and didn't just woke up a couple of years later. That's why we really think that a good mechanism would be really necessary here. Yes, and discussion, yeah, as you already mentioned, it was mentioned in our letter that we have started some initial work to look into the issue. We discussed it yesterday with the GNSO, as in the board resolution we were supposed to kind of work together. They haven't done anything yet, so we will try to. But as you said, yes, that's perhaps it could be resolved by some contractual obligations of GTLDs. Yeah, but. So we are working on it, but yes, we would like to have some proper mechanism. And I heard that Chris just said yes. Okay, so thank you very much. Any other comments on that? Okay, no comments. Then let's move to the next question, and that's impact of the leveling of ICANN's funding on ICANN's priorities and priority setting mechanisms. So I'd like to ask... Giovanni will briefly summarize the comments that our strategic and operational planning committee submitted in response to the draft ICANN budget. Giovanni, please.
Thank you, Katrina, and thank you for the opportunity. The CCNSO strategy and operating plan committee submitted last week their comments to the fiscal year 19 operating plan and budget of ICANN. We had a constructive discussion last Sunday usually have this discussion with the ICANN finance department, Xavier and his team. And we put forward and we, let's say, provided further elements for Xavier and his team to respond to our concerns and comments. The key points are, again, that we appreciate the fact that in the preamble of the fiscal year 19 operating plan and budget, there is an acknowledgement that ICANN can do better in terms of long-term financial planning. This is something that the working group, which is now a committee, has been highlighting since several years. We are always reiterating one point, that is try to make the plan, which is now made of six documents, as user-friendly as possible. We believe that this is not the case yet. There are some, for instance, metrics and indicators that are in one document, while actions and goals are in another document. So if you are do not own the language, and if you are, let's say, struggling a bit with time, let's say that it's not so easy to go through all the six documents and have a clear picture of what is the plan. So we keep saying to ICANN, if it's possible, to make a further effort to have this plan in a more user-friendly format. Regarding the funding, we keep saying, as we have been doing in the past 2 years for fiscal year 17 and 18, we keep recommending ICANN to be more prudent when it comes to the projections for the funding and growth estimates, especially in the new G world, in the new G environment. And also, one of the comments that was put forward for fiscal year 19 is that we would like to see, the rationale in the plan, because we see that there are some cuts, but there is also a continuous growth in headcount. And Xavier, during the meeting we had on Sunday, provided us with some initial elements to address our comment regarding the continuous growth in headcount against budget cuts in other areas of the planning. And let's say that one of the other comments that we put forward is that we would like to understand and have a better picture if the budget cuts in some areas are the outcome of an assessment of certain activities and the added value that those activities are providing to the community, or are just, cuts that are done, a bit randomly to see where, we expressed some comments in the past about, for instance, the increased budget in travel, and then this time in fiscal year 19 we see cuts in terms of travel. So we like to, again, understand better the link between the budget cuts and the priorities in the ICANN planning. That said, we were also informed that ICANN will soon start the process, which is in the first slide that we have seen at the beginning of this session of the CCNSO meeting. ICANN will soon start the process to produce the strategy plan for 2021-2026, and we'll be happy, like we have done last time, to get involved. We understand that this time it's going to be more important for the different stakeholders, the different constituencies, to highlight what are the priorities. And, that's extremely good. But, again, we would like to be reassured that we have enough time to put forward our priorities, our wish list, against, ICANN and the whole team. And one last comment is that I've been with my predecessors in this committee for quite several years. I must say that the progress that we have seen in the production of this strategy plan and operating plan and budget has been great, enormous. So compliments to all the ICANN staff who's behind those planning. There's still work to do, but again, if I look back 10 years ago, what we were seeing, what it was published, there is a huge gap in terms of the quantity of information, and that's very good because that allows me and the other working group committee members to express views and to support or produce, let's say, input that at some point I can may take on board, at least consider for, again, further improving the planning. So those are my initial, let's say, comments, and all the committee members are always happy to continue to engage both with ICANN and with the CCNSO community to make sure that, again, the work in progress is like Romans used to say, ad majora, so to the better. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shireen.
Thank you, Giovanni, for this introduction. So you've said a lot of things. I'm going to try and parse this into three components. One is you've made comment about the FY19 budget, and then you talked about the strategic plan and how do we set priorities and how do we get all involved in it. And then there is an implied question in what's said there about the absence of a mechanism for resolving contention when there is requests and priorities from different part of the community to a limited number of resources. So I'm happy to address the last two parts about the strategic plan and the contention of resources, i.e. the priority setting mechanism. But I think the FY19 budget, any comments, I'd leave it to Joran and Xavier if you wanted to address Giovanni's direct question for this year's budget. And then I'll pick up the other two.
Thank you. This is Xavier Calvez. I don't have much to add to what Giovanni said. He clarified and emphasized a number of the comments that have been submitted, and as we have discussed with his group, we are going to answer those comments as part of the public comment process, but it's always very helpful for us to be able to interact with a group who helps us understand better the comments. So we're going to be working on that over the next few days. And I'll let you
just,
address
just take the praise, Xavier. Take the praise that was given.
That was assumed already. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Joran Morby. I speak in a personal capacity, and I work for ICANN. I always want to say that. So this is a very serious question, and it's important for me now actually to say the same thing that I've been saying to all the other ones. Maybe I should. I promise there is some IT engineer right now who thinks, oh, no. But I want to face you. So let me go through a couple of things so you get the same info as everybody else. And they're going to just sleep. So first of all, yes, we have less funding going forward. But it's not a big difference. We actually more or less have the same funding as we had a year ago. And that's important. But what happened is that about 80-85% of our cost base is actually already fixed. It goes to meetings. We break it down to policies set by the community, things that comes out of reviews. These are, you know, meeting strategies that we have compliance. A lot of those things actually add up to 80-85% of the budget. So what we actually talk about every year is the 15%, which is something we can easily move around. That's why the numbers become so small. So one of the things I realized during this meeting is that we're now starting to talk about the 85%. So we're now starting to buy. For next year's budget, we have 9 reviews running. I can see the expression of your face that you're really looking forward to have run 9 reviews. And one of them is a big review, is an accountability review, which is in the bylaws. That in the budget is $700,000. We always talk about this from a fatigue perspective, we should actually do some policy work together. So one of the things I think that are going to come back from this is that I will actually make a proposal, because this has to be this kind of change has to be done in dialogue. I can't make that change, because in the end, it's like the budget, you make that decision. So If we, you know, practically, if we took away one, move that for a year or two, that's $700,000 in the budget. If we decided together that we would have four running reviews per year, we will save $1 million per year out of the budget. So these are now, we start talking about the 85%, and I think that's very, very important. And I don't know if Xavier told you this, but there is just one notion. We're doing cuts everywhere. You know, for instance, already this year, because this year we have $8 million less funding than expected. So we have exchange programs internally to make sure that we can't spend more money than we have, and therefore we're actually taking costs already, taking down costs already this year. That's why it's so cold in this room. I'm just making sure that you're still awake. Next year in the budget, we have internal ICANN org savings for about, I think it's $8.5 million, 6.5% of the budget. One of the mechanical problems is, and it sounds like I'm complaining, but I'm not complaining. Because of the rotation we're doing with the meetings, we decided to go to Japan because we've never been there. And that's it's a more expensive place to go than many other places, but it's still a good thing to go there. So next year, for instance, we're actually increasing the amount of money that we do for travel support for the whole community with about, I think it's 13% or something like that. I'm looking at Xavier somewhere. 12, thank you. And we're actually taking down the travel support for ICANN org with about 10%, I think. 12. Is it 12 both sides? Okay. 12. That's I should be able to remember that. And these are the mechanics we have to start talking about. The board is taking cuts as well. They are rearranging meetings, new travel policies. Everybody is included. It's just that we tend to speak about the 15%. One more thing. Why do we always speak about the 15%? I realized something in conversation with you. The way we do the budget process is too much like a company. We don't give sufficient time for a real dialogue between us, the board, the org, and the community. So I'm starting to think that I will actually propose that we can... It takes 15 months to do a 12-month budget because of some mechanics we set up with the IANA function as well. Maybe we should rethink that and do a two-year budget cycle so we can actually make a decision and actually have a dialogue about the things that are important to us, which fits very well with the board's notion that we have to be better at looking around the corner. So we engage in the discussion and give us time instead of this, I have to throw the first stone because that's my job. And some of you think that it was too big or too small or something, but I have to do that. And now we're in the process of the dialogue, which just ended. You submitted comments to us, and it's a very short period of time. At the same time, you're actually running 8 reviews and doing I don't know how many PDPs, and you're probably, some of you at least, have a life as well. So I just want to say those things because I also said them in all the other meetings as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joran. Reviews cost a lot. For example, the upcoming CCNSO review costs $250,000. If we, for example, let's forget about the review, give us it in cash, and we'll do what's important for us. Okay, Shireen, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Joran, for addressing the FY19 question. So the other two questions that Giovanni brought up, one of them is to do with the strategic planning exercise and how do we set priorities in there. So that's going to be a really important exercise for all of us. The last time we did this exercise was to produce a plan in 2016. It was a 5-year plan. And we never really costed that plan. We set a strategy, and the strategy was to become independent, global, interoperable, everything. If you read it, it's there. And what we did is develop an operating plan, 5 years, to support that strategy. And again, we never costed this 5-year plan. And every year, we took a year out of that plan and produced a budget and give that budget to the community together with that particular year operating plan, i.e. all the projects and all the activities, and the community would comment on that. And now, as we see, we are in kind of the third year or so of the plan, And then suddenly the funding is leveling. And we are saying, wait a minute, we didn't foresee that the funding is going to level at year three of that strategic plan. And now we are telling everybody we have to be more conscious and more effective in the way we're spending our money. Hence, quite a bit of the discomfort around the place. There's absolutely no reason to panic whatsoever because we still are funded solidly. But we have to be a bit more prudent because in the past you could exceed the plan and come with requests halfway through the years, but there was always more funding coming through and we had the flexibility to meet that. That flexibility, unfortunately, has now been very, very limited. So we have to be more prudent and pay a lot more attention to the budget. And I know the CCs have always been very careful at looking at the budget anyway. So we want to have a different approach to building this next strategic plan. First, there is the plan, and then there's the execution of it, the operating plan or the tactical plan. Some people call it tactical plan. That plan will have three components. We'll have a vision, a mission, and strategic objectives. We will have to ask ourselves the question is, will our vision by the year 2025 differ from what it is now in the current strategic plan? I made yesterday the comment that it's unlikely to change substantially, but some other members of the community said, are you sure about that? Well, we need to think about that. So one of the things that you need to make a contribution is, how do you see ICANN in the year 2025? Is it the same as today, from a broad perspective rather than a tactical perspective, or you see a different type of organization? So your input on that is very important input to the entire community. In terms of the mission statement inside the new plan, I think this is going to have to be aligned with the bylaws that we've just approved as part of the transition. So therefore, the third element is really going to be where the heavy work is going to take place, which is what we call the strategic objectives. And to do this right, we need to start by thinking and understanding what are our internal strengths and weaknesses that could really stop us from achieving our mission and vision, and what are the external trends and forces that can also have an impact on our ability to achieve our vision and mission. And yesterday, I gave in my speech an initial list of about 10 of these forces and weaknesses, and I know that ICANN.org has already organized some sessions with some stakeholders here in San Juan, but apparently the scheduling is not permitting it to happen across all of the SOs and ACs. So we're spreading the work between here and Panama so that everybody makes a contribution. But I think your contribution and your vision from the outside looking into ICANN saying, what are the forces that can really impact ICANN's ability to be what we want it to be in the year 2025? So we'll have to organize this very smoothly and have a process which allows everyone to contribute to that. Okay? And once we do this, and once we develop a five-year plan to implement that strategic plan, we will have to set the priorities in there about all the activities that we're going to do. So we don't necessarily have to reinvent them every year, but they'll be there, they'll be costed, and we will know that we can afford it. And it will be, in my view, an iterative process, because we'll come up with a plan, we'll then produce an operating map of how to do it, we'll cost it and say, well, that strategy is too expensive. Then we go back to the community and say, we have to adjust that. So the community then provides an input, and we go through an iterative process until we find a realistic plan. We did not do this last time. We just agreed a strategic plan, agreed an operating plan. It was sequential. and then went on and execute the first year of it. This time will have to be an iterative process so that we know it's affordable and the priorities are set in the right way. So that is as far as the strategic plan is concerned. Now, going back to the question you have here about priority setting mechanism, I want to go back to something that Jordan Carter asked in Johannesburg, right? Yes, it was in Johannesburg. Said, who sets the priorities in ICANN? And there was this debate. Jordan saying it should be the board, and I think I and others saying, no, it should not be the board. So I think that question is still lingering. And it really only matters when there is contention for resources. And contention for resources, so two part of that question is, one, are there contention for resources occasionally? Yes, there are, definitely. All right. Even if they are part of a plan, we have to find a way of resolving that contention. And worse, when they're not part of the plan, they happen throughout the year and there is contention for resources. Number two, is there a mechanism that we all agree on to resolve these contentions? And the answer is no, there isn't a mechanism, right? So how do we go about resolving that? And I say we had an attempt of a discussion in Johannesburg, but I think GDPR and other things took primacy. But we need to resume that because it's more pertinent today because we don't have funding increasing to resolve that issue. So now this is a more pertinent question. To me, it's really a match of supply and demand. Joran and the ICANN org are really the people who are managing the supply side, the resources and the money, people and money. The community is managing the demand side. So you are generating your own priorities, your own demands, and there isn't something in the middle that does this matching. I think it should be, we need a central resource allocation system whenever there's contention that is agreed upon by the community to resolve that. The board is not abdicating its responsibility. At the end, we approve the budget, right? At the end, we approve the strategic plan and the overall priorities. But we don't want to sort of interject at every juncture when there is contention on resources. There has to be a way of doing that in a more systematic way. And my recommendation is we need to get our head together to find this central resource allocation system, bringing in the supply side, which is Joran, and the demand side, which are the SOs and ACs, and find a way between them of resolving these contentions. And if they can't be resolved, obviously it's got to go to the board and we will assume our responsibility. But there has to be a more efficient way of doing that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mike, you wanted to add something.
Thanks, Katrina. I think one of the critical things that should be addressed, and this to me is of significant importance to the CCNSO, is that there's a lot of duplication in what we do in this room, being ICANN org, ICANN board, CCNSO, your board, your organizations. There's a lot of duplication in what we do in the internet governance space. And I find it somewhat amusing sometimes when you go to meetings and we meet each other at outside meetings, not just at ICANN meetings. And I think it'll be really useful if we try and find ways of trying to prioritize some of these issues so that not everybody needs to be in every room at the same time, but that we can actually share some of these responsibilities, particularly around the defense of the multi-stakeholder model, some of the internet governance issues, some of those things where at the moment it just reminds me a little bit like a group of 9-year-olds playing football and you know you have 22 kids chasing after the ball. And you know you don't leave somebody watching the goals, and that's some you know those are some of the areas where I think the CCNSO can be an amazing partner in terms of ICANN refocusing some of its
initiatives based on flattening funding. And I'm aware that CCs are also facing some of those similar concerns, but if we can work together more efficiently, I think it'll be really useful. You know, some CCs sponsor travelers from their communities. It's not necessarily known within the ICANN environment, and I'm not saying you must give that to ICANN, but just if it's made known, it allows for better planning and better processing on some of these issues.
Thank you very much, Mike. Shireen?
I fully agree with Mike. And here's another example of an issue is going to hit us soon on and how to deal with it. WS2. So the Workstream 2 accountability is coming to an end, and the board is meeting with the co-chairs of WS2 and the rapporteurs to discuss how we're going to go about implementation. If there is an expectation that we're going to implement all the recommendations in one go, then that is going to create difficulty, because we can't do like we did with WS1, go and dip in to the tune of $36 million into the reserve fund and use it and solve the problem. I think the reserve fund has been depleted to the point where I think it will not be fiscally responsible to dip even deeper into that to finance the implementation of WS2 recommendations. So the board is not saying we're not going to do it, but we need to sit together and say, how do we phase the implementation of that, and how is it going to be paid for? Is it going to be paid for by savings somewhere else? I mean, what are the trade-offs, and who's going to make those decisions? And this is going to be a tough thing to handle, because there isn't that central trade-off mechanism. So we will work with Joran, and Joran's going to say, well, I can do as much in FY19, for example, and then we'll have to go back to the community and say, you put a recommendation for all of these WS2 things. Let's say we agree with you, we want to implement most of them. Then how do we do it? How do we stagger it? Over what period of time? So that is a typical example of priorities. And what else going to give? We had to give up to do this. Another example, just to follow on Mike's.
Yeah, thank you very much. And if we talk about the ICANN budget, so according to the new bylaws, it is one of the things that can trigger rejection action process. So don't get scared. We hope there will be none, but nevertheless, that is the right of the empowered community to file a rejection action petition. And Stephen, who is our representative on the empowered community administration, he had done some math, and we would really like to share it with you so that maybe we could address that. Thank you.
Thank you. Not trying to predict whether or not a rejection action petition is submitted and gets a support that it requires to go into a public forum period, I would strongly suggest to the board that they schedule their vote on the adoption of the budget between a window that permits a public forum to be held during ICANN 62. And if my math is correct, it looks like that window, the earliest you could vote would be the 7th of May, and the latest you could vote would be the 30th of May. And with the 7th of May vote, the last day of the public forum period would coincide with the first day of ICANN 62. And with the later date, the first day of the 21-day public forum period would coincide with the last day of ICANN 62. So I think in the interests of the being able to hold a public forum at ICANN 62, in the event that subsequent to the board voting on the budget, the empowered community rallies and successfully puts forth a rejection action petition, that the board vote within that window, and I think we need to reconfirm that window with JJ, but I think I'm pretty close. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any comments on that, or questions from the board?
I think Xavier is just conferring there about the when is the board going to... it's a good point. I'm glad you've done the numbers. So, Xavier, when is the budget coming to the board for approval for the first time?
Thank you, Shireen, and thank you, Stephen. And just for clarity, Stephen sent us an email, me an email, to expressly say what he just said with the information that backs it up. And we're looking into that email from Stephen. But the point is simply that we currently are planning to have a board approval that is no later than the end of May, the 31st of May. And the point of that was to enable the period of 21 plus 7 days that follows a board decision. That is the period during which the empowered community can determine whether they want to submit a rejection request, basically, and therefore go to the next step. So I want to make sure I'm clear on that, and Stephen will correct me if I'm wrong. So the current planning that we have is to allow that period of 28 days to happen before the beginning of the fiscal year. But should there be a decision by the empowered community to go to the next step and submit a request for a rejection, then we will inevitably fall into the fiscal year FY19, which starts on July 1st, and that becomes the process of rejection that runs itself. And, of course, we would be under caretaker budget during that period of time. I want to make sure I've understood correctly your point, and I was not inaccurate in reflecting what you said, Stephen.
No, you got a good summary there.
So the bottom line to the point, and to answer Sharon's question, the current timing allows the 28 days of empowered community for consideration of a rejection. If there's no rejection by the end of the 28 days, which expires before the beginning of the fiscal year, then nothing happens, and we kick in into FY19 with the budget that has been approved. If by that end of 28 days, the empowered community decides to move forward with the next step in the rejection process, then on the 1st of July, which will be a few days after, maybe 3 days, thank you, Stephen, after the expiration of the 28 days, then we will then move to the next step, have the caretaker budget kick in right away on July 1st, and that caretaker budget will be in place until a new budget is approved after the rejection power has been exercised. Thank you. Presuming that it goes all the way through the process. From memory, there's 7 steps of escalation, so there's opportunities for that rejection to not occur ultimately. Sorry that it was complicated.
Thank you very much, Xavier. Thank you, Stephen. And the last one is the next steps for adoption of the IDN overall policy. So as you know, CISNESO submitted the policy in 2013 for board to discuss and decide upon, and it was mutually agreed to further use the fast track for its original purpose as an experimental basis. So it all evolved. Chris?
Yeah, thanks, Katrina. So look, this is, you've written to the board and said, can you now please move forward with the thing? I think that given that the policy document has been around for quite some considerable time, and given that some things have changed since it was written, including some of the things that happened in the last few months in respect to the discussions with ESSAC and the like, that it would be a sensible thing for the board and the CCNSO to jointly agree that you take back the document from us and run through it again to make sure that there don't need to be a few tweaks and changes to take into account what's happened, because otherwise we might end up endorsing the recommendations and then have you coming back saying, well, now you need to make this change. And I think I'd prefer, if it's okay with you, that we agree jointly. So I'm not, the board's not not telling you to do this. I'm asking you if you will work with us, take it back and actually come back, bring it back to us once you've checked it and possibly made a few alterations.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Yeah, it's 2018 now. It was submitted in 2013. Some things possibly have changed. Okay, so I think that's a reasonable proposal. We will discuss it and probably look into the document and see if it needs to be amended, updated, and so on. Then we'll get back to the board.
Super.
With that, if there are no any other questions and no more comments, then thank you very much again to the board and IconOrg for coming here to our room. It was great seeing you, and see you around.
Thank you very much for having us, and I look forward to seeing all of you at the cocktails tonight.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you for inviting us to your room for a change.
Yes, we needed our exercise, but I just want to say we're looking forward to seeing you at the CC cocktail tonight. It's going to be a good party.